You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. On this week's edition of Food Friday, our guest takes a humble standby of American cooking and gives it an international spin.
The meatball is a staple of family dinners, buffet lines, and potlucks, and our guest tours the cuisines of the world to make it more fun. From Sweden to China, Italy to Ecuador, and for beef and pork to ostrich and even meatless, turns out there's a whole lot of meatballs out there.
Adeline Myers joins us now. She's a food writer and cooking instructor, and her new book is called Global Meatballs, Around the World in 100-plus boundary-breaking recipes. Adeline, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
So let's start with this focus. You're focusing exclusively on the humble meatball. Why?
Well, it's fun, for one thing. I've always loved meatballs, and I feel like whenever I tell someone that I wrote a book about meatballs, their first reaction is, oh, my goodness, I love meatballs. And there's, like, no matter where people are from, you know, we've got Americans and immigrants and people that are traveling, and anyone from any part of the world that I've talked to is like, oh, I love meatballs. And then they usually follow with this story about their favorite meatball or their mother's meatball or their father's meatball. And it's all very personal.
Well, you've got a lot of variety in the book, and we'll get into that. But are there some basic universal meatball tips that can help us with just about any recipe?
Yeah, you know, the structure of a meatball is simple, but there are some elements. I mean, I'm sure you've had that thing in the kitchen where your meatballs fall apart and you're like, oh, why did that happen,
yeah.
Right? So the binder is usually an egg, and you can do them egg-free with things like flaxseed or bread, but the egg really holds them together. The proteins hold the meat or the beans or whatever sort of meatball you're making. That's what's going to keep it from falling apart. But you also don't want too much egg. So about for every pound of meat, you need one egg. And also for every pound of meat, it's usually about a teaspoon of salt. And that will make you a nicely flavored meatball. And then adding things like bread or breadcrumbs is really optional. So actually, half the book is gluten-free and not on purpose, just because much of the world doesn't eat bread the way that we do. And so that's quite interesting for people that are, you know, going that way.
If you don't want to use the breadcrumbs, what can you use instead as a filler?
Well, sometimes we use rice, or a lot of them have no fillers. And it's just a straight meat, and sometimes they are beans, or potato is a great one. I have this great lamb and potato kofta. They're from North India, and they have some spices in it, and the potato and the lamb just come together in this wonderful, like, texture that's just super satisfying and comforting.
One tip that I hadn't encountered before: when you roll the meatballs, have wet hands. Wet your hands before you do it. Why is that?
That is a super good tip. The meat will totally stick to your hands. You get like that dirty, sticky, meaty hands, and then the balls don't come out even or slick, and you'll get sort of a fuzzy texture. it's not nice, and you're washing your hands all the time. But if you dip your hands in cold water or run them under a cold faucet, it will make the rolling easier and a lot more pleasurable in the kitchen.
Another thing that sometimes happens is the meatball kind of cracks or splinters. What's going on there?
You know, sometimes it's the balance of having too much egg or the outside cooking a lot faster than the inside. You know, I did a lot of testing, and sometimes that does happen. You know, the world is a funny place, and things are a little unpredictable. a lot of the fried ones will crack a little bit anyways. It just seems to be the way the gas escapes sometimes. But
you,
that's okay. It's okay to have, you know, meatballs that aren't perfect. That's one of my messages.
So you have a suggestion I think would go over well here in Wisconsin. I've never tried it. Stuffing meatballs with cheese. How do we do that? What's the best way to get a cheese-stuffed meatball?
Oh, it's delicious. So you make your meatball mixture, where you throw everything in the bowl and you mix it together with your hands. This is usually a key step. You know, it's really simple, kind of one bowl mixing. you got your eggs and your, you know, bread or potato and your spices and your meat or, you know, tofu, whatever you're working with. And you put a little of it in your hand and you sort of make a patty, almost like you're going to make a, like a hamburger. Like you can roll it into a ball and flatten it into a patty. And then you stick your, you just kind of stick your thumb in it and make a little divot and put your cheese in there and then roll it up around itself. And sometimes you have to put a little bit of more, you know, meat or potato or whatever you're working with on top. And then you roll it together in a ball and you've got your cheese stuffed meatballs. They're delicious.
It's hard to argue with cheese and anything, at least here in Wisconsin. But you also mentioned something else that caught my ear. You said tofu. I'm someone who eats mostly vegetarian, not completely. I just had a tuna melt for lunch. But let's say I don't want to have, you know, a ground beef, a lamb. I want to have something vegetarian. What options are there?
Well, a quarter of the book is vegetarian recipes, and a quarter is fish recipes. I know there's a lot of pescatarians, especially in my family. We have a lot of not meat eaters, and our holidays are ridiculous. You know, we've got a million options for everyone because someone's not eating something. So we're always trying to please a lot of different palates. So one of my favorites, you know, tofu's good, and there's a couple tofu recipes in here. Tofu's, I have a great one that is like a traditional Italian meatball with red sauce, and but it's made with tofu and mushrooms, and it's amazing. People love it. But one of my favorites are these lentil balls, and you serve them with tahini sauce and pesto, and they're made with lentils, so they're full of protein and iron and all sorts of great vitamins, and really healthy for you.
Does it take more to make the veggie ones hold together? They might not adhere as well as the meat?
Yes. You know, testing out those tofu recipes was one of the harder things that I had to do in the book. They're less predictable. But the recipes are pretty straightforward. And, you know, sometimes I use potato starch, which is a familiar ingredient for a lot of people. It's a lot like cornstarch, but a little, I prefer it in meatballs. You know, some flour will help them hold together. And again, the eggs do the same thing.
Well, let's dig into a recipe, and we've shared this particular one over on the Central Time Facebook page. It's chorizo and white wine tapas meatballs. The name alone sounds kind of delicious, but what do you like about this one?
This is one of my favorite ones. It's actually the first recipe in the book, and I did that because I think it's one of the most approachable. I keep making it for parties and bringing it as appetizers, and they get gobbled up, so I encourage you to, like, try this one. It's actually National Meatball Day on Monday. So if you need an excuse to make meatballs ever, that would be it. So this one's really easy. You need leftover bread. So you take the crusts off a couple pieces of bread, which is a tradition in a lot of countries. Instead of breadcrumbs, they'll just use stale bread. And you soak that bread in white wine, and that gives the meatballs a really interesting depth of flavor. It's a little unusual, but, you know, all the alcohol cooks off while you're cooking them. So they're not like boozy meatballs. It just has this great extra flavor. and then it involves ground pork, which you can get at your butcher or your grocery store, and chorizo uncooked sausage, which is also like a pork sausage, but it's really well flavored with paprika. And that takes a lot of the mixing, measuring, getting the flavor right element, you know, out of this. So it's simple. You get some sausage, you get your ground pork, you take the sausage out of the casing, and you're going to mix those together with the soaked white wine bread, and you add an egg and a little bit of garlic and parsley and a pinch of paprika and salt, and you roll it all together and bake them in the oven, which is, you know, a lot of people go for baking over frying because it is a little less fat. It's, you know, on the healthier side, and it's easy too. So you can throw like your 35 meatballs in the oven, and then you take them out and put the little toothpicks in them, and you're ready for a party. And it's easy, and they're delicious.
And what do you serve them with as far as a dip or things that go along with them?
You know, they're amazing by themselves. You could do a dip. I usually put olives next to them because the briny quality of the olives is really nice next to the sort of fatty, succulent meatballness. So something to counteract that, like pickles or some crunchy vegetables might be nice also. But no sauce in that case. And they're good, you know, warm or room temperature.
And I really like the meatballness.
Yeah.
We'll have to start using that as we discuss on our Food Fridays here.
We're talking to Adeline Myers, author of Global Meatballs Around the World in 100-plus Boundary-Breaking Recipes.
And you can join the conversation. Do you have a favorite meatball recipe? With meat, maybe without. Do you have a question for a guest about how to jazz up a recipe? You can call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation with Adeline Myers about her new cookbook, Global Meatballs, and she's sharing inspiration from around the world to jazz up an old classic.
And you can join in maybe with your recipes or with your questions on how to build a better meatball. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is there a recipe in your family, a favorite dish that you could tell us about? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We go to our phones now. We've got Gary on the line in Rhinelander. Hi, Gary.
Hi there. Yeah, you know, I think two foods or two groups that always makes anything better is bacon and cheese. So, and to me, a meatball is nothing more than meatloaf in a bite. And I'll make my meatloaf with like Cheetos or a different flavored type cracker that I have left over in the cupboard and such. So that works really well for us. So.
Yeah, that's pretty revolutionary. Cheetos in a meatball. I guess you get a little tangy, cheesy zip. What do you think about that suggestion, Adeline?
I like it, Gary. I think it's fun. You know, whatever brings more flavor into your meatballs is cool with me. I think every household does meatballs differently, and every country does them differently. But in the way, they're really all the same. They're kind of like people. We're all the same, but we're all really unique and different. And so I like your Cheez-It meatballs.
Well, speaking of every country having their own, a lot of Scandinavian influence here in Wisconsin, what is your favorite take on the famous Swedish meatball?
Well, I love the Swedish meatball, and I was testing recipes and had some wonderful people trying them, and they said, oh, you've forgot the nutmeg, and I was like, oh, okay, forgot the nutmeg. We put it in, it was amazing. And the Swedish meatball is great. It's a little sweet and sour and traditional and really beloved. Another one, if you're into Scandinavian food, you should really try the fiskabollen, which is I don't know if that's very popular out there, but it's a fish ball made with pureed white fish, and then it's really lightly poached in just barely simmering water, and it's just phenomenal. I was floored when I tried them for the first time because I'd heard about them, and I have a family member who came a long time ago from Sweden, and she loves them, but I'd never had them, and those were a surprisingly delicious. Like, they came out of that hot water, and I was like, wow, I see why everyone is in love with these things. They're served with a white sauce, like a traditional white sauce, but if you don't do dairy, you can use, you can make like a little curry sauce for them, and that's becoming more and more popular in Sweden right now.
I'll say opinion is divided among Central Time hosts on the fish meatball concept. I've had them in like Chinese restaurants. I really like the idea. Veronica, you're not so enthralled with the notion.
You ratted me out. No, I don't know. I'm agnostic. Maybe this will be the one
no,
to convert
Veronica,
me to the fish meatball.
It's fair enough. And, you know, they're unusual to make. If you know, your listeners have never made fish balls before, the first time you grind up that fish, you're thinking, what am I doing? Shouldn't I just be, broiling this or frying this? Why am I turning this into a paste? I do it every time. I catch my breath. But they're awesome. They're really tender. And I keep telling people, if you have someone in your family who doesn't like fish, which, you know, I think a lot of children are like that. They maybe wouldn't mind the taste because it's so very mild. But if you, you know, if they don't like the texture of that flaky fish, if it creeps them out, make fish balls and they'll eat them. Children love meatballs and they love fish balls. There's something great about letting them hold the food. It's like handheld food. It's edible. And the fish balls, they like lose the whole texture of the fish and take on this amazing dumpling quality. And there isn't much flavor there. So it's a great vehicle for sauces and things. And they're really healthy. Most of them are poached. Some are fried and they're amazing. They're like fried fish. So Veronica, I respect that you don't, you know, you're not on the bandwagon.
Thank you for your open mind.
I have to say. But for those of you out there who are wondering, like, maybe that sounds good, they're totally worth trying.
Well, I think Rob will make a batch over the weekend, yes, and then you can bring
make them all myself.
Well, then you're not making
Rob,
any converts.
Rob, let me know how they, let me know how you like them.
Yes.
And any of you, you know, people out there, trying meatballs on National Meatball Day, you should like send out a hashtag Global Meatballs on Twitter, and with your pictures, I would love to see what people are making.
And we've got Jackie with us next in Brown Deer. Jackie, hi.
Hi. My suggestion is for a meatless meatball is take a nut loaf recipe, which usually is used for kind of a meatloaf substitute, but then you could also use it for meatballs, which I've done, and then use like a Swedish meatball gravy to go with it or something like that, or dip it in a cheese sauce or something like that.
That sounds super delicious. Thanks for that idea, Jackie. And what about, you know, using a nut loaf to make a meatball?
You know, same thing. It's nut loafs, meatloafs, meatballs, they're all sort of the same concept. You have these small minced ingredients put together in a attractive, edible form. So it's a great, you know, easy step to make meatless meatballs in your kitchen. I say go with a nut loaf. And if you're a more, like, from-scratch cook, a couple of the recipes in the book are basically like that. We have, you know, you put the ingredients together yourself. But you got vegetables and nuts. There's an amazing one that's one of my favorites to make in the summer. It's called Ruby Beet Balls, and that's like shredded red beets and walnuts and some onion and a couple other things. But that's all rolled in together. And that's a recipe from Georgia, the country, not our state. And that's an amazing one. That's a lot like has the nutty elements of a nut loaf, but also the fresh qualities of vegetables.
That sounds really good. You know, for cooking with meat ones, one question I wanted to get to before we're done, how do we know when they're done? Like, I'm super paranoid cooking with ground meat, and I always like end up bisecting, you know, about a third of them. That one's done. That's big. That one's done. Is there a way to check them without cutting into most of them?
I hear you there. That is a huge question that we all ask. A good meat thermometer is something handy to have in your kitchen, and you can check the temperatures that, you know, ground beef and ground pork should be at. Some of us like to go a little bit more rare with some of our cuts of meat, and they're saying with pork, you don't have to be as careful as we used to have to be. So, you know, buy it from good sources and cook it well. I honestly do often end up cutting one in half because sometimes I just want to check that my thermometer is saying the right thing. But there's also a thing you can do with your hand. Have you ever heard this, where you put your finger, let's see, your first finger and your thumb together, and you push on that part of your, that sort of soft part of your thumb by your palm, and that's what rare meat tastes like, and then if you, or feels like, you can learn how to feel the meatballs. I'm not explaining this very well, but you can totally go on YouTube and look it up. And if you put your thumb on one finger in turn and press that soft part of your thumb, that's how you can tell. You guys should just go on YouTube and look that up.
That sounds like a visual, definitely.
It's a visual. I'm doing it here, but you can't see it on the radio.
All right. Adeline, thank you so much. And on Monday, happy Meatball Day to you.
Thank you. Happy Meatball Day to you.
We've been talking to Adeline Myers about her new book, Global Meatballs. We have a recipe of hers, chorizo and white wine tapas meatballs, on the Central Time Facebook page. And our producer, Chris Molina, just tweeted that as well. So check it out.
I think that's the first time Happy Meatball Day has been set on Central Time.
I think that's true. We'll have to consult the archives.
Many firsts. Yeah.